Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, designing basements where kids can play and relax. Information at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, March 13th. I'm Abby Larico. St. Louis Interim Commissioner of Corrections Doug Burris says he's committed to helping improve conditions at the St. Louis City Justice Center, where 18 detainees have died since 2020. He says his empathetic approach to jail reform is what sets him apart.
I know that there are people that are in that jail, and in every jail, that if I would have grown up in their families, I would be sitting exactly where they're at.
Hear more about Burris's priorities coming up after this news on The Gateway. St. Louis will no longer have local control over its police department. The Missouri legislature has passed a bill that places the department under the control of a governor-appointed board. STLPR's Sarah Kellogg reports.
Through the legislation, the department would be under the control of a six-person board. The mayor would serve on the board, as well as four resident commissioners and a non-voting member. The commissioners must be residents of St. Louis for at least 2 years before their appointment. They must also be confirmed by the Senate. Democrats from St. Louis repeatedly stood up to speak against the legislation, including Representative Lakeisha Bosley.
I find it incredibly insulting that we keep having conversations about St. Louis without St. Louis being in the room.
Now that the legislation has passed both chambers, it now goes to Governor Mike Kehoe, who has made state control of the department an early priority in his administration. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri House has passed a bill creating an open enrollment program for the state's public schools. The legislation creates an opt-in program where schools can choose to accept students who live outside their district. Schools that do decide to participate do not have to add teachers, staff, or classrooms to accommodate transfer students. While schools can opt in if they want to gain students, they cannot stop students from leaving. However, districts can restrict the total outgoing number of students to 3% of the prior school year's enrollment. Proponents of open enrollment say it would give families greater choices when it comes to education, while opponents worry it could harm school districts. The House voted 88-69 to pass the legislation. It now goes to the Missouri Senate, where similar bills have died in prior sessions. The Missouri House has also approved two bills containing a wide array of tax measures. Among other provisions, the legislation would set the state income tax to a flat rate of 4.7%, with the ability to eventually reduce it to 3.7%. Missouri currently has a graduated income tax ranging from 2 to 4.8%. The estimated cost to the state is almost $1.3 billion. Lee's Summit Democrat Kemp Strickler says the legislation was pushed through the House too quickly.
Is that good legislation? The body was not told that that would have about a $1 billion impact to revenue. Is that good government?
The bills also include changes to tax credits. St. Louis Public Radio's Evie Lewis has the details.
One of many provisions included between the two bills is an increased tax credit for donating to crisis pregnancy centers. Supporters of these centers say they increase options for pregnant women, while critics say they mostly advocate against abortion. Currently, donors to these centers can claim a 70% tax credit. The bill would increase that to 100%. St. Louis Democrat Steve Butt said during debate on the bill that crisis pregnancy centers were being privileged above other programs that benefit from tax credits, such as food banks.
There is no sunset. There is no cap. These are huge concessions that basically no other tax credits get.
Both tax bills now go to the Senate. In Jefferson City, I'm Evie Lewis, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri Senate has approved a bill allocating nearly $2 billion to fund the state government through the rest of this fiscal year. The allocation now goes to the governor's desk for approval. The legislature passes a supplemental budget like this every year. It's common for unexpected financial needs to arise or for programs to cost more than projected. When that happens, the budget has to be adjusted so everything can remain funded. This year's supplemental budget includes money for services for the developmentally disabled and avian flu response, among other programs. The budget also includes about $300 million for public education funding. That's largely because last year's wide-reaching education bill passed late in the session and wasn't accounted for in the annual budget. The legislature will be required to pass a full budget for the next fiscal year before the legislative session ends in May. The Missouri Supreme Court is considering whether to uphold the passage of Proposition A. That's the voter-approved measure raising the state's minimum wage. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman has more from yesterday's oral arguments.
Proposition A passed overwhelmingly in November. It boosts the minimum wage to $15 an hour and gives more workers paid sick leave. Voters and a group of business associations sued. They argued that the summary on the ballot was misleading because it was not detailed enough. They also said the summary of the fiscal impact was incomplete. An attorney for the challengers, Mark Ellinger, says those two things combined are enough to order a new election.
A voter only gets to see what's in front of them. That's what they vote on.
State officials and supporters of Proposition A say the challengers have shown no evidence that voters were deceived. The court will rule at a later date. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
A Missouri State Democratic senator is pushing an incentive aimed at creating more residential units in downtown St. Louis. State Senator Steve Roberts is sponsoring a tax credit program to convert commercial buildings into primarily residential spaces. The St. Louis Democrat says the tax credit could be especially helpful to redeveloping the AT&T building and the Railway Exchange building, two downtown St. Louis structures that city leaders are targeting for redevelopment.
Downtown is just such a gem, and if we're able to get more folks living down there, more foot traffic, it's more likely that crime will go down and we can really see a revitalization of our downtown and main streets.
Roberts was a guest on Politically Speaking. You can listen to his interview by going to stlpr.org or wherever you get podcasts like this one. KDHX is seeking a loan from a chain of Christian radio stations. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports.
Community radio station KDHX is seeking a loan from KLOVE that would allow KDHX to keep operating as it goes through reorganization under Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The move would make KLOVE its chief creditor and among the first in line for payouts. A judge still needs to approve the arrangement. KLOVE is part of an international media company that creates Christian programming for more than 500 radio stations. It has more than $1 billion in assets. KDHX indicated in court papers it has at least $1 million in liabilities. Its largest single debt is $120,000 for a construction loan. KDHX leaders declined to comment. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Doug Burris is the new leader of the St. Louis City Justice Center, where 18 detainees have died since 2020. Burris is credited with turning things around at the St. Louis County Jail, where 5 people died in custody in 2019. Burris sat down with STLPR's Lucretia Wembley to discuss his plans to improve conditions at the city jail and the similarities he sees with the county jail he previously led.
Both places had staff that the numbers were down significantly, and we weren't able to provide the staffing that really is needed. I'm very pleased to report that today we had 14 new officers start, which is probably the most that started in the last couple of years.
And so how many are on staff now?
The COs, we probably have about 108,
okay,
and we need more. The other similarity is that we have over 800 people in the jail, and one in every four is on a psychiatric medication. And a lot of these people are individuals who could succeed in the community if they had the right support.
A federal class action lawsuit was filed in 2022 against the city jail that is still making its way through the courts. Now, in that lawsuit, several detainees are accusing guards of macing and abusing them while they're handcuffed. One of your recommendations is the hiring of older correctional officers and that they be assigned to troubled areas. Do you believe that more experienced COs will be less likely to display such behavior?
Yes, absolutely. That's one of the reasons. But I have to tell you that there's a system in place where I really don't believe that overuse of mace is a problem in the facility now.
Nearly half the number of people who died in custody at the city jail lost their lives due to health problems that many jail reform advocates say could have been prevented, like some not getting access to their diabetes medication in time. What can be done to ensure people get access to medical care in a timely fashion?
We're meeting with the health team twice a week where we're going over anyone that's marginal. When I was doing the reports on my investigation of the facility, I talked with every single diabetic that was insulin dependent to ensure that they were receiving proper medical care, and they were and are. And I think that working together, we're going to make things even better.
St. Louis has a unique setup with its jail and the shared responsibilities between the Department of Public Safety and the St. Louis Sheriff's Office. How do you see that relationship developing during your time as interim commissioner?
I've worked more significantly with the deputies than I have the actual sheriff. I've met the sheriff on two occasions. And I can tell you the deputies I work with have been very professional. And I think we've got an excellent working relationship with them. And I think that'll only get better as we get to know each other more.
What about the Detention Facilities Oversight Board, which is tasked with holding the jail and its leaders accountable?
Look forward to them coming in to the facility, and I think they're going to be impressed, and we are not going to hinder their doing their jobs.
Headlines, investigations, and lawsuits have dominated happenings around the CJC and the Sheriff's Department. What message do you have for community members who may be questioning the efficacy or safety of the operation?
I was born into a family that gave me everything that I ever wanted, yet during my teenage years, I almost screwed it up. And I understand that while I was given everything, my college, my undergraduate school was paid for by my parents, I was given a car, everything, and I still almost screwed it up. I know that there are people that are in that jail, and in every jail, that if I would have grown up in their families, I would be sitting exactly where they're at.
You have a long history of working to decrease recidivism rates and improve public trust in the criminal justice system. As the interim commissioner, what are your priorities for turning things around at the CJC?
I want to continue to build on programming that can prepare people to succeed in their community and avoid the criminal justice system ever again.
What message do you have for people who have lost loved ones at the CJC and who are skeptical of your plans?
I would say I honestly can't know their pain, because I didn't experience it. But I have so much empathy for them. If you have an organization that is fully staffed with people who have empathy, you're going to have an outstanding jail and a very successful one.
That was St. Louis Interim Commissioner of Corrections Doug Burris speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley. Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.